This is a recording of the audit hearing held on June 22nd, 2017. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Good morning. Convene the audit hearing for Thursday, June 22nd, 2017, with the Illinois Republican Party, A13-09. The hearing will be conducted pursuant to the procedural rules for audit hearings adopted by the Commission in 2009, which is available on the Commission's website. Before us today is John Fogarty, Jr., General Counsel for the Committee, Nick Klitzing. Thanks, Executive Director for the Illinois Republican Party, and Laura Jaksik, Counsel, also. Welcome to the FEC.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
On March 29th, 2017, the Audit Division sent a copy of the draft final audit report to the committee, as well as a copy of the relevant legal analysis. That report sets forth six findings and recommendations. By letter dated April 17th, Mr. Fogarty requested a hearing on behalf of the commission, and the commission granted that request. Mr. Fogarty and all three of you, you may make a brief opening statement as desired. Following your presentation, the commissioners, general counsel, and staff director will have the opportunity to ask questions. At the end of today's hearing, you'll have the opportunity to make a closing statement. Your request states that the committee wishes to address issues described in findings 2, 3, and 4. Finding 2 involves reporting of apparent independent expenditures. Finding 3 addresses record keeping for the commission. Finding 4 covers the receipt of apparent prohibited in-kind contributions. So if it's you, Mr. Fogarty, please commence with your opening statements. And once again, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having us. We appreciate this opportunity to address you on these points. Thank you for the introductions as well, Chairman Walter. In opening, I'd like to provide just a little bit of sort of historical context, how we came to be before you. The 2011-2012 election cycle for the Illinois Republican Party, and you probably get this from many parties, was not particularly well handled. We had individuals who were taking on too much responsibility. We did not have, at the time, a professional reporting software or system, which we do now. We similarly, after the 2012 election cycle, had a situation where our state party chairman was overthrown, and senior staff for the state party, who had been running things in the 2011-2012 cycle, were no longer there. And because of sort of the acrimony of the situation, individuals with records that we, in this process, would very much like to have provided to you, did not provide us those records. We've done the absolute best that we can. But I wanted to make sure that it was clear that there's absolutely no desire among us, the party now, to not provide absolutely everything that we have. So to the extent that some of the things we're going to talk about today reflect on our ability to or our inability to provide you records, we want to make clear that there's no intention not to provide, and we've done the best we have been able to under all of the circumstances. Things have changed, though. We have an executive director for the last 2.5 years. Mr. Klitzing is an attorney as well. I've been around for now almost 5 years, and Attorney Jaksik as well. So we've sort of righted the ship, and we're doing everything that we can to make it absolutely right. We had prepared for you today a PowerPoint of the sort of the six findings. We chose not to dislocate you and then relocate you because there's There's no exciting graphics on our PowerPoint that would warrant it. But if we could, I would like to just very briefly go through our six slides. I think it bears review given all of the all of the matter that has come forth in this audit process and the steps we've taken to remedy. With respect to your audit finding number one, Mr. Morecambe and Mr. Favin were able to put together our bank records from 2011 and 2012, identified some discrepancies that existed. We readily corrected those. In fact, we hired a professional firm to really rebuild our database from back at that time at no small expense. So we want to let you know that that has been done. We've now amended all of our reports from 2011, 2012, and all the way to the present day so that the reports as they stand now are completely accurate. With respect to finding number two, I intend to talk a lot about this. Finding number two is the party's supposed failure to disclose 27 direct mail communications as independent expenditures. I'll go over in more detail shortly in a moment, but our conclusion, and I think the evidence will show that these are not independent expenditures at all. We feel that we've demonstrated the proper volunteer involvement, and we frankly don't see where the evidence would point that the direct mail communications that are identified here could be independent expenditures. But we'll go over that in more detail shortly. With respect to finding number three, finding number three asserted that the Illinois Republican Party needed to provide records documenting 19 expenditures disclosed as FIA, volunteer mail, and other matters. We have searched our records and we have no additional documents. They just don't exist. We believe that the expenditures are properly disclosed, but we simply don't have those documents. With respect to finding number four, being the receipt of alleged prohibited contributions in the amount of $72,880. These amounts were apparently, given some invoices, spent on postage for direct mail for communications on behalf of two federal candidates. Not for lack of trying, but we've been unable to locate records that would match these payments to a mailhouse, either via our bank records, other committees, etc. And we regret that. We do, however, contest the conclusion that these amounts would be prohibited contributions to the Illinois Republican Party. Our contention, and we'll talk more about this in a moment, is that these amounts, if they are prohibited contributions at all, are more properly classified as prohibited contributions or over-the-limit contributions to the two congressional candidates involved in these mailings. With respect to finding number five, detailed amounts that arguably should have been reported as debts and obligations to 14 different vendors. And again, we have gone back and amended our reports. We've rebuilt our records to reflect that. And all those debts have been properly reported, have been discharged, paid off, and then properly that has been properly reported as well. And then finding number six, record keeping for field employees. And as we've noted throughout, we now, frankly, do keep records for our field employees. We were unable to determine whether in the 2012 election cycle proper records were kept for field employees. We just simply could not find them, and we regret that. But as noted, I think, in the draft interim audit report, that deficiency has been remedied and is currently no longer deficiency. So I'd like to turn your attention, please, to finding number two. And these are, the finding is that there were 27 supposed independent expenditures that were made by the Illinois Republican Party on behalf of federal candidates. Again, our contention is that these expenditures were not independent at all, and the evidence supports this. In response, or throughout this audit period, we have provided a variety of materials. Most pertinent here are the sworn affidavits of individuals with direct personal knowledge of the Illinois Republican Party's mail program for 2011 and 2012. If I could first point you to the affidavit of John Calloway. Mr. Calloway was the deputy director of the Illinois Republican Party in 2012 at the proper time. Mr. Calloway, in a sworn statement, notes that his job responsibilities included overseeing the volunteer component of the ILGOP's mail program and ensuring that for every piece of mail that the Illinois Republican Party sent on behalf of federal candidates, ILGOP volunteers processed that mail. Mr. Calloway goes on to say, Mr. Calloway sets forth the procedures that were used for the sorting, the bagging, the tagging, etc. He describes the candidates for whom this mail was processed. He authenticates sign-in sheets for volunteers. He authenticates pictures of volunteers processing this mail, and even names other principal volunteers. Mr. Calloway, is to be noted, states that none of the mail pieces the Illinois Republican Party sent on behalf of any of these Republican candidates was nor was intended to be an independent expenditure. As noted in the outset, Mr. Calloway left the Illinois Republican Party in 2013 somewhat hastily, and some of the records that he collected, sign-in sheets, etc., were not retained. So to the extent that Mr. Calloway had any records, we have provided them to you. But Mr. Calloway did testify to a procedure that was used. I also would like to highlight the assertions made, again, in a sworn affidavit, this one from Andrew Heffernan. Mr. Heffernan was a star volunteer for the Illinois Republican Party through this cycle, and after 5 or 6 days processing mail, he was promoted to the position of volunteer coordinator. Mr. Heffernan also swore to the procedure for mail processing that was used, and that was used on behalf of all federal candidates that he was involved with, such as the bagging, the tagging, the rubber banding, etc. And in addition, volunteers taking pictures of the other volunteers and providing those pictures to Mr. Calloway at the end of their mailings. Mr. Heffernan also provides the names of additional volunteers who processed the mail with him.
And I've got a question. If there were any records, then how does he know who those names were? That affidavit was filed a few years later.
That's right.
Did he have some records that support it? I mean, how did you identify these people after the lapse of time and
Mr. Heffernan?
Employees left and there's no records, but you recall the people. So I just
That is right. That's right. He's still acquainted with them. Some of them are likely related to him. So he's still acquainted with them.
But he remembers at least 10 pieces, 9 pieces, 9 pieces, 3 pieces, 8 pieces. There must have been some record.
And those records were cobbled together from what we knew had been sent out.
Okay. Go ahead and proceed. Thanks.
Finally, Joe Weiss. Mr. Weiss provided an affidavit. And Joe is a longtime state Republican Party employee. At the end of the 2012 cycle, Mr. Weiss was the deputy executive director for the Illinois Republican Party, and Joe, in his tenure as the deputy executive director, was familiar with the policies for supporting federal candidates, and states that unequivocally there was no independent expenditure made on behalf of any federal candidate. So we would submit that the evidence here, while not perfect, is enough to meet the requisites of the volunteer exception, and such that these mailings should not be considered to be in kinds, but rather non-allocable mail. We have noted reports from this body from with respect to other committees dealing with this same issue, such as the Tennessee Republican Party in the 05-06 election cycle. It appears from that report that volunteers performed the same sort of activities, but it's unclear whether the assertions made by the Tennessee Republican Party were actually sworn statements. Here, by contrast, we have sworn statements from individuals with personal knowledge authenticating a process, authenticating records attached in that process. So
was there one affidavit by somebody who was there? I understand the. And obviously, you've done a lot of work to try and rebuild this. I'm just suggesting it. Is there anybody who actually was there?
Yes, Mr. Heffernan was there. Yep. So in sum, with respect to the evidence, we think that our quantum of evidence is enough to meet the volunteer exception here. And then finally, on the notion that these are independent expenditures, there would be no need for a state party to engage in volunteer activity if they merely wanted to make independent expenditures. There would be no need. You'd have the same cost of the mail, but you would not have to go through all that we were going through, albeit imperfectly, in order to keep the communications that were being put forth from being considered to be in-kind contributions. So it just does not make sense. Only on a handful of occasions in the last 5 years are we aware of any independent expenditures made by the Illinois Republican Party. Those independent expenditures were made on behalf of state candidates in very specific circumstances, but we've not ever made any on behalf of federal candidates. So because the quantum of evidence supports it, and we don't think logically concluding that these are independent expenditures. We would ask that you not adopt finding number two. And I'm certainly happy to answer questions now, or we can go to finding number four. And
just one more question. What records do you have for this particular? What records do you have that allow you to piece some of this together, the cobble together, for example, the number of pieces and the information like that?
So the
checkbooks?
We certainly have provided our bank accounts, yes. Definitely. There are clearly expenditures for this mail. We have, evidentiary-wise, we have, as you likely have seen, attached to the affidavit of Mr. Heffernan, attached to the affidavit of Mr. Calloway, pictures of volunteers, volunteer sign-in sheets that we would submit is quite direct evidence of volunteer activity.
Good, thank you. I'm wondering if anyone on our staff would like to ask any questions, or should we wait till a later time on this particular point? Any commissioners? Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you. I would just like to ask, thank you for making the trip here. We really appreciate it, and for walking through this in a very effective manner.
Thank you.
I'd like to ask our staff if we could talk about what was the difference that we found between the audit reports for Arizona, Tennessee, I guess those are the, in Florida. Mr. Fogarty says that his case, we have affidavits, and some of those other cases we haven't. Of course, I remember those cases, but haven't reviewed them recently. So if you could remind us what's the crux of the distinction here. I was the volunteer coordinator for a county party many years ago, and it's hard getting people in, and you tend to remember them because you spend a lot of time with them, and you're always on the phone with them, and it's a great group of people. So it doesn't surprise me that the gentleman was able to remember a lot of specifics on sort of that bunker mentality of getting the mail out over pizza and whatever else you do. So I don't know who's the proper person to ask the question.
Okay. Again, thank you for coming to Washington for this. We appreciate it. I believe at the interim audit report session, I talked about how we handle the situation as far as deciding what's enough evidence for this finding, and I think we used the term lack of clarity as far as our guidance is concerned. And so I don't exactly recall the difference between the Florida case and the Tennessee case that Mr. Fogarty discussed as far as whether they were sworn affidavits or not. Generally speaking, if we can't tie direct evidence to the invoice, then we're in the position where we're just providing the information to the commission to make a call on it for us, because we can't make a call at our level. And so I think that's pretty much where we're at as far as the evidence that they provided was very good evidence, and we certainly appreciate it. But in our position,
there was one case that was similar to this, but there was no affidavit. But with this one, is distinctive in the sense that there are more statements under oath regarding it. I can't remember exactly the previous case either, but Commissioner Goodman.
I believe that was the Arizona case where we didn't have sworn
statements. So you're saying that in order for the auditors to be able to say this is okay, you have to be able to tie the mail piece directly to an invoice. Just saying this is the mail piece we worked on, here's a copy of it, here's an affidavit, is not enough from your perspective?
Yes.
Okay. And is that written, is that a policy that's written somewhere, or is that just the sort of way that you, I don't recall that being...
Well, Basically, when we get advice from our Office of General Counsel, that's pretty much how they tell us to proceed with this. And we've been doing it that way probably for the last two or three cycles in that regard.
Well, in the audit report that we're talking about today acknowledges the lack of clarity in this area, and we've talked about it a number of times. There's a footnote here, footnote 8, to a proposed policy that was proposed by Commissioner Peterson, myself, and then Commissioner Don McGahn on March 10th, 2010. We're still looking for votes on that. You know, happy to revise it. And you know, I think at this point it's really unfair to drag committees through all of this for a policy that we haven't been able to perfect. And I'm wondering, you know, how much time and energy have you spent trying to deal with this specific, just this finding? You know, what's the dollar associated for your state party to try to comply with just this finding?
Certainly. Well, I have handled this matter since its inception, and I function on a volunteer basis on some occasions, and I'm paid on some occasions when we have the money to do it. But in terms of the time that it takes to put all of this together, it's considerable. And when I do volunteer for the party, then I'm not able to bill my other clients, who I hope aren't watching right now.
So. Did you take a picture of your volunteering? Eat any pizza?
I should. Right, exactly. So, no, we certainly did. It takes a lot of time, and personally, I began to serve as general counsel at about this time. So I know the effort that they were putting into making sure that they had volunteers ready for any mailing that was going out. And then dealing with it from then on, I can't put a dollar amount on it, but it'd be in the tens of hours tracking people down, trying to see what they remember, searching for records. It's considerable.
Yeah, well, it's overly burdensome, and I apologize, and hopefully we can come up with a way to fix this going forward so other committees don't have to go through all of that.
Thank you.
Yes, Lorenzo.
I just want to clarify for the record about the Office of General Counsel's comments. We've commented on this issue in almost in every audit report it's come up in. In each of our comments, we've always specified that there was a lack of clarity in this area and that we're not sure where the goalpost is because of the lack of clarity. So we've made that very clear. But I think the decision, the audit division has been to go forth to actually collect documents so the commission will actually have enough documents. Should they reach a decision about where the goalpost is, then we would have the records. So that is, but I just want to clarify that we've always made it clear that there's a lack of clarity in this area, and that's in all of our comments.
It certainly is.
Madam
Vice Chair.
Thank you for the clarification. I agree with that, and that's absolutely true. I think that maybe until there's lack of clarity, maybe we could come up with some kind of agreement that we at least don't go after a certain amount of information while we're, as you said, waiting for, you know, some kind of policy that can give people guidance going forward. I mean, there has to be a point where we say, because of our lack of clarity, we're not going to ask people to, you know, sort of do more than is reasonable, at least in my view. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead. We want to proceed with the next finding?
Yes, please. Thank you. And thank you for those comments, by the way. The next finding that we take issue with is finding number 4. And this finding outlines supposed prohibited contributions of a little over $72,000, allegedly to the Illinois Republican Party. As far as I can tell, the conclusion that these are prohibited contributions to the party are based on invoices that we did have and that we did turn over, and on these invoices there was a reference that said postage paid directly to mail house. These invoices were tied to two congressional candidates that the Illinois Republican Party was helping, Joe Walsh for Congress in Illinois 8 and Jason Plummer for Congress in Illinois 12. Neither were successful that year. Neither your auditors nor we have been able to determine whether those funds, if they were truly paid directly to the post house, we don't know. Both of these congressional candidates, we do know, used one common consultant, mail consultant, Revolvis is the name of it. But our bank records do not reflect monies that went from the Illinois Republican Party to specifically to a mail house, as much as we can tell. Because we were doing so much mail for so many candidates, I would contend that it's possible that that monies did go from our coffers to a mail house and just aren't properly or easily traceable for this purpose. I would contend that that's a possibility. But truly, the genesis of the funds, I've not been able to get a handle on. We early on sought some guidance information from the NRCC to see if somehow this was a program that they were helping to or participating in. We, of course, went to the committees that we were trying to help, but as this was maybe 2 years after the election, maybe not quite 2 years, but a good while after the election, both candidates had lost, it was really difficult to track anyone down who had knowledge or was really willing to help out, frankly. We have attempted to try to figure this out with Revolvis. We likely owed them money at the time, and they were less than helpful or able to help. So we essentially don't know whether this was mislabeled or in some fashion. We do, though, challenge the ultimate conclusion that these would be prohibited contributions to the Illinois Republican Party. Our contention was that this mail was, like our other pieces, non-allocable, volunteer-processed mail, or intended to be, anyway. And if it turned out to be non-allocable, because we did it in an imperfect way, the amounts that were provided and are contended to be prohibited would really be credited or should be credited as an in-kind or a prohibited in-kind to the congressional candidate committees who we were trying to assist. So we would reference section 109.37, paragraphs B1 and 2, as authority for treating these supposed prohibited contributions as either an in-kind or as a coordinated expenditure on behalf of the recipient committees. We would submit as well that the volunteer exception that I read as being found in section 100.87, if not done correctly, is destroyed, if you will, by an offense to subsection C, which states that there can be no designation by the donor for who ultimately benefits from their contribution. We would assert that if monies were paid directly to the mail house, that that donor, whomever that donor is designating that money directly to the candidate. And if that is so, then in this limited exception, we would posit that, for the sake of argument, that the volunteer exception would not apply, and if it would not apply, that these contributions are prohibited or over the limit to the candidates rather than to the party.
Commissioner Goodman.
Have you cross-referenced the candidate committee reports of disbursements to these mail houses?
We have, and as best we could, we were not able to match up what
match up to the dollar. But
right.
Did you see large payments?
I'm certain that we did.
From those candidate committees to these to this mail house?
I would have to look again. I believe we did, but it has been a while since I've looked in depth at these candidate committees.
Understand. Can I ask our audit staff, have we cross-referenced the candidate committees? It was Walsh and who was the other candidate?
Plummer.
To see if they made disbursements to this mail house?
Yes. I believe Joe or Jason Plummer may have used Revelis on his reports. I don't believe I saw them on Joe Walsh.
Do you recall the approximate amount that Plummer spent with this mail house?
I don't have that number here. I do have it in my workbook, though.
Okay. Do you recall drawing any conclusions about whether the Plummer disbursement to this mail house might have covered this $2,000?
Yes. And take those two together, $72,000.
Approximate time frames?
I don't believe it would have.
It would not have covered the $72,000?
Yes, I don't believe so.
Okay. Mr. Fogarty, have you considered if a candidate made a payment directly to the mail house, whether it could have been a transfer? In other words, rather than a... there are lots of rubrics through which you can look at this. It sounds like you took transfers in from candidates.
We did.
To help pay for your volunteer mail service on their behalf. And we've crossed that bridge before. Have you looked at whether or not a direct payment by one of these candidates may have constituted... in other words, the presumption of the finding is that some third party paid it.
Right.
And I don't see any evidence of who that might have been. Do we have evidence of who that might have been? We don't.
No, correct.
Okay. So we've kind of pushed the burden of proof on you.
Yes.
To prove that some corporation XYZ.
That's right.
didn't make that payment.
That's right.
Okay. Given an ambiguous notation on an invoice. Okay. But had the candidate paid it, there are lots of different ways to look at it, I take it. Because you were taking transfers in from candidates in any event.
That's right.
To then help pay for mail on behalf of those candidates.
That's right.
Okay. I'll follow up with the audit staff on looking at what other sources of payments we saw with these. Are you sure that these invoices related to Walsh and Plummer as opposed to potentially some? If you were doing a large amount of work with this one mail house, I've seen invoices that offset some prior payment or offset as part of the whole direct mail program on a specific invoice, and that's just where it shows up. But the credit on to account isn't necessarily related to that candidate's mailing. It just shows up on that candidate mailing invoice. Can you?
That could be.
You've been unable to take to figure that out.
Yeah. So no, we haven't done a full deep dive on that, but that is a distinct possibility. My executive director is nodding, and I think that's not all that uncommon.
How much in volume do you recall the total volume of work you did in that election year with this one mailhouse? Like, what dimensions are we talking about? So that a 72,000, I want to figure 72,000 out of how much work you were doing with a mailhouse.
So maybe 20%. Maybe 20% of what we were pushing through the state Republican Party.
Dollar figure?
Oh. $3 million.
Okay, so $72,000 out of $3 million somehow shows ends up as a notation as a credit to some account.
Yes.
With the ambiguous words paid directly to mailhouse.
Yes.
And we don't know who.
No.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Does staff have any further suggestions or thoughts or questions on this to see if there's anything more that maybe we can do on our end or coordinate to resolve this next very short period of time? All right, well, we'll stay in communication and see what can come of it.
Well, thank you very much. And please, if we can do anything further, we're eager to do so.
Sure. Please feel free to go to the next finding.
Well, you know what? We referenced finding number 3 in our request to be before you, but finding number 3, I think we've addressed. It concerns record keeping and producing records to substantiate a number of expenditures for FIA and FIA related items, and we just don't have those records. We have been through it, through what we have been able to find. We just do not have anything further.
Okay, thanks. Anything else? If not, you can make a closing.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you very much for your time today, for your insightful questions, and truly thank you for helping us balance our books. While this is about as fun as a root canal, I kid. We take disclosure seriously, and we want to be good actors in your community. So we ultimately do appreciate this opportunity.
Well, thank you very much for coming, and this has been a good session, and there's no doubt that you definitely want to comply and make it work, and we'll just see where we can go on this.
Very good.
Thanks once again.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
So we'll adjourn this part of the meeting.